Ralph, I'm an addict. I clean data, 7/12/91. And like the rest of us using guys all here, I started at an early age, probably 14 years old drinking, and then started using marijuana at 12. Well, then progressed on into through school and everything, and hanging out. And then I got in trouble. I was in my senior year of high school. They figured Uncle Sam would straighten me out. Well, ain't no war going on, so all you do in Uncle Sam's army is drink and get high all day. And then I got out of there. Then I moved. Well, I left Mississippi in 68, moved to Illinois. I left there in 78. Then when I got out of the military, I come back to Mississippi, went to work with my uncle, and met a girl, got married. We had two kids, two boys, and things were going pretty good. I mean, still partied a little bit. Then we got found a miracle drug, crack. And I was already selling weed and everything and doing pretty good till that crack come along. You know, now I got busted in 85 by the DEA agent trying to buy 25 pounds of pot and a couple others. And that didn't go well. We all got arrested. We got put on Tupelo News and paper. And then also, you don't have no friends when you get, it was all right as long as you're selling dope and everybody getting high weed. And then when you get busted, you know, people scatter. And in a little bitty town where I live in, 600 people. And, you know, then back then I hired a lawyer. It cost me $5,000 to keep going to prison. That was back in 85. It don't even cost that much nowadays. But, you know, so I got out of it, went back doing a little bit. You know, I think I got hooked on that crack, and you spent so much time doing that, you let the other stuff go. And then 1990, July 1st, 1990, police chief in that town I lived in said I had to go to jail. And I told him, no, I wasn't ready to go to jail. He said, you're going to jail. I said, I done told you I ain't going to jail. Well, one thing led another, I start beating on him. And I got away. I got the party rest of the night before they caught me. Then my uncle pulled a few strings, and my option was go to Parkman Penitentiary or find another state to live in. My bags are packed. I left my wife, kids, all, and moved back to Illinois. And I moved back to Perry, you know, and I went to school there, so, you know, I still had friends, you know, I graduated. So I got back, and same thing, partying. By the end, I done got off the crack and started shooting cocaine. You know, I never did heroin or another opiates. I was a speed freak. I like zooming. I like going. And, you know, hell, that nodding out and shit. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know. And so I got up there, and I mean, and I was a functional addict. You know, I worked every day, never missed a day of work, you know, and I was always there. And when I got north, I worked for a friend of mine, my dad, but they owned a paper, company Bell Paper. I'd work 15 hours a day and then party 8 hours and rest for 1 hour. You know, I had so much dope in me, you know, it just, but then, you know, by then I done got separated and everything. And I'm sitting there, and I just, one day, you know, the partying, I mean, I was almost dead. I was 120 pounds. And And the people I worked for didn't know I was that bad, but I worked all the time. I was there. And I had a, it was in April of 91. I've been shooting up dope. I got 2 days and laid up several women up. And I went to go home. My heart started. And told my sister, and my sister-in-law took me to the hospital. I had a, what they call, heart defibrillator or whatever. It was beating off that. So hooked me up one of them heart machines for like 5 hours. Then took me out to this treatment center and put me in detox. I stayed there a few days. There wasn't no meeting. Nobody didn't know ever said nothing. They let me stay there a few days, and I got out and went back to work. And then July of 91, I had enough. You know, I got paid. I would buy 8-ball cocaine, do half of it, sell half of it. You know how that goes. Once you start it, there's no way. You know, and I had this female with me. We just had it. And had to know all the dope was gone, money gone, and my parents' stuff was still pawned at the pawn shop. But they traveled a lot, so they wasn't home, and I lived there. And, so I thought, you know, I had to either get help or commit suicide or do something I didn't really want to, you know, do. You know how, you know, we do anything to get that drug. And my higher power chose to get me. I got a hold of my stepmom and my sister and them and people I worked for. We got all the stuff out of the pond for. And got back my mom's house. They were coming home, and I went to that treatment center where I went before. Well, then I stayed there 7 days. I think all your life stay there. And I kept begging them, "Let me pay you, you know, till they get a bed opening or whatever." They're gonna send me home that morning. Well, I was getting ready to go home. They come down and said, took me up to the office, and but two people didn't show up that day. I was already detoxed. So that was my higher power working in my life. He got me in there in that treatment center. I stayed 28 days. You know, boy, on Friday night we used to have us, we call them a psychiatrist, but the other person. Yeah. Or that, you know, them heads, that was going to mess with your head. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, they're all nailing these folks, you know, all these questions, because you have people from outside that were clean. Coming in there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing. I knew my, you know, they're coming. So they made me go sit out in the hall, you know. Then they'd bring me in, then they'd drill me, and I was sitting there. The last week I was there, it was like 4 weeks, and they said, "Ralph, if you laugh tonight or whatever, we're going to not flunk you or whatever, we're going to give you." So I sit there with my sweatshirt in, I had a in my mouth the whole time. I almost lost a few times. And I didn't. I made it through. They let me out. And my counselor then was sitting there talking to me about halfway house, 45 miles down the road. You know, I'm all right. You know, I'll go check it out. You know, if I didn't like it, I could leave because I was there on volunteer. I got down there and I stayed. My counselor kept lasting another week. Finally, we made it 90 days clean. Then I get out. And then right in my 90 days, my cousin had a car wreck down here in Mississippi. Got killed in October of 91. You know, and you know, our side of the family, my neighbor's side, we got a lot of preachers in our side. We, you know, there's no whole lot of partying at the reunions or family events. I mean, if you got high, if you went off, us addicts, we could find each other, go off to side, but you know, you didn't do that out, and so they didn't put up with that. And so, had then 2 months later, my uncle that I used to party with, you know, drank with, and everything where I lived down Mississippi. Well, he drank himself to death and died. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm getting right here, you know, 6 months, and I lost two of my very first cousins I grew up with, you know, and her dad was a preacher. They lived in Mount Vernon when we were growing up. And then in April of 92, my grandpa passed away. And I'm sitting there all within a year, I'm three of the closest people I had, but my high power seemed, there was no reason to go use over that. What's that going to do? I mean, what is it going to accomplish? That's what I had to think every day, count to 10, remember, I do that first one. I don't do it, then that ain't going to be no more. I have too much fun recovering nowadays, traveling and doing things, going places, meeting Lucy and Amanda and Eric and all the other people I know here in Memphis. I've been going to VRC since 91. Gatlinburg, a friend of mine took me there at 6 months clean. And I was crazy. when I was in that treatment center, the first week I was there, we got a camp out up there. And they took us there and I was a week clean at that treatment center. And there's all these hippie long hair people, motorcycle people and all this in there. And I'm saying, that got to be some drug right here somewhere. But nobody's using. The guy from St. Louis was DJing. And I don't know any John from Wisconsin was the speaker. And I'm sitting there, all these people and having a good time and nobody using. And I think that's what made me realize there, that you don't have to have drugs to have a good time. I'm sitting watching all that. And then H and I in that treatment center on Sunday night. And I used to corner my sponsor, Stan. He knew, he got word of something. I think he dreaded coming because they sit there and I'd talk to him, how do you do this? I've been using it since I was 8, 9 years old, cigarettes and booze. And then, how do you stay clean? So I, kept talking to him, and everything when I got out, I don't recommend this to all you, but I got out of a treatment back to my hometown. I'd go to the bar. I'd go to this one for 5 minutes. What am I doing here? I mean, it stinks. It's nasty. These people, they don't have nothing I want. So, I started going out back then we had Shawnee's, and we went to the meetings afterward and had another meeting eating and everything. And I started doing that and staying around. And I got involved January of 92. I had a 6 month clean. They made me H&I chair of our area, and I stayed H&I for up to 2005, I guess, up there or so. And maybe longer because I went back. But I used to do prisons. I did 6 prisons in Southern Illinois. Some of them I traveled hours, some 30 minutes, and I like that. That's gratitude. You can go in there and you get to leave. you could be yourself in there. Didn't have to worry about, everything going here. Somebody, he done this, he done. And in there, I loved it. It's not kept me clean, doing service work, I worked on 2 world conventions in 96 in St. Louis, 98 in San Jose. And I've been regional chair of Show Me Region, and I've been all kinds of stuff in our area. And service work kept me going, And then I got kind of burnt out in around 2005 of doing, I just started staying local in our area, back doing area stuff. And it just, that stuff will keep you clean, if you. And mainly you got to want it. Do you want to live or you want to die? And, I can remember every day, I'm powerless over my addiction. And my life is unmanageable. And just because you're clean, when I was 20 years clean, I did I was in charge of all the bank accounts of our area. And I was in a thing where I was getting I got involved with this lady after we lived together like 10 years and we built a $250,000 house. And then my dumb ass sit there and put nothing in my name. I didn't care. You know, we, you know how everything's going. Well, she saw that 2 years built, she was done with me. And she went off deep end, and so I spent spending money on lawyers. Finally, I said, there, you know. So I needed $8,000 until that next week or so that I got some money coming in. So I misappropriated or embezzlement or whatever from the NA fund, you know. And I had to tell my area what I'd done, you know, because it bothered me. You know, even though I replaced the money, it was still, you know, you don't do that. And, you know, and finally I just said, hell with everything. She can have everything. I'm done. You know, my serenity was more important than a house, half of a house or whatever. You know, you learn from your lessons, you know. And then, you know, I got into gambling for a while, and that makes your life, you know, unbearable. You know, you're looking for something to fill that void. You know, and I got straightened out on that. I mean, I still do some, but, you know. I don't do it as much, you know, as I used to. I mean, I used to go to see those Evansville and St. Louis stuff, and I had $10,000 credit. I'd go up there and tell them I need $10,000. When did they give it to me? And then, you know, if I win it or if I lost, then I had to figure out, I got to have that money back in by Monday. But on the weekend, they're ready to cash that check in. And finally, I had to go up and tell them, you know, cut my limit off. I don't need no limit. You know, but, you know, today, I remember who I am, where I come from, and what I got to do to stay clean. You know, I met people all over the world, you know, and I still go to rock concerts, and I remember what songs they play. You know, one of my regrets when I sing Led Zeppelin in April 77 in St. Louis, don't remember. I remember the last song, Stairway to Heaven. You know, that's balls up there. You know, them balls they dropped back back years ago. But you know what song they probably sung, but then you don't, you know, and things, you know, some of the regrets you have, and but you know, like I said, you live through it. My higher power, and I've went through all how many lives. I've had wrecks, I flipped cars down the interstate, hit a guardrail December of 4. I told my girlfriend I went up here about I don't know how many years ago, 7, it was 6. I was coming back from the casino in the morning at 5 o'clock, fell asleep, hit a guardrail, and cleared out about 40 foot of it, flipped me upside down. I landed on the bridge, and I did my seatbelt, and I dropped. That's when I knew I was upside down. It was dark, you know, winter, my coat, I had to get in. I couldn't find my cell phone, and people just going down, knew what stopping. They even but hit the car a little bit. And it's funny a little bit. I'm standing here, probably a semi stop. And then everybody else had to stop. I mean, they're just dodging all the car parts, everything on the road. And then they, you know, call the ambulance and they come got me. You know, maybe go to the hospital. I come out of there without a scratch. You know, and then a few other wrecks I had, you know. My higher power, I probably went through 5 or 6 lives. You know, one, I didn't get shot when I was using, because I mean, I got into a bad situation. You know, got beat up, had guns pulled on me. You know, it just, you know, the miracle of this program that has kept me alive. You know, my higher power got something for me. That's why I'm still around. You know, he's a, you know, back in September, I was up north. I was going to, I went up there for a doctor appointment, but I still had some doctors after I moved back to Mississippi 5 years ago. I went up there. I'm going to St. Louis. I'm going to go over to the casino and spend the night with one of my girlfriends. And we've been seeing each other not well. And the good Lord told me that day, now you just need to go back to Mississippi. I mean, go to St. Louis. And now you need to go back to Mississippi. I got 20 miles from St. Louis, no no, nothing. My car just blew up. So I'm sitting there on the side of the interstate, 20 miles, raining. I called my buddy tow truck back where I lived at to come get me. I said, no, you're going to come get me. It's raining. I'm on the side of the road. I'll help you when we get back to unload that bulldozer. So he come got me, you know. I made it back. My couple days later, my mom carried me to Blythe, Arkansas. My cousin come up Mississippi, met us there, and carried me back. And I sit there for like a week. And I was talking to her on the phone when my car blew up, wanting to see somebody else. And I sit there and got back, and I had my cousin. I said, what are you doing tomorrow? She said, no, I came around the car lots. And so I got approved all these cars. And usually when I went, and my sister sent me one from Hefner Motors in Batesville, Mississippi. All right. I called them about the one they had on there. And I gave them the information. They called back and said, you've been approved for it. I had the money. They told me how much I had to pay down for. I'd be up there Friday. It's on a Wednesday. I was there Friday and got picked up the car, paid them and everything. Then after that, I got like five or six letters from different car lots I went to that I got approved when I was there that day. Tell me my credit's not good enough to get no cars. But that was higher power working in me. He got me that brand new car that day. I'd waited another day. I wouldn't have got nothing. I'd still be afoot. Or buy some clunker. But you know, the day, you know, I have so much fun in recovery. You know, I work steps, I talk to my sponsor. You know, I remember every day that, you know, who I am, where I come from, and you know, this, you know, you only got so many lives I've had. And I thought I wasn't gonna become because my leg been, I got a pinched nerve from my back, and they came in the emergency room by night, telling me, you know, but now they're going, I got to go back to January 10th, see about that, where they're going to do surgery to relieve that, because my foot stays numb all the time, and my leg there, sometimes, they got me on so much shit now that I can stand, but, you know, the stuff I didn't even, never even used in my life, and but I told them I was an addict and this and that, and they gave me one drug. I knew all about it, but I didn't, I've never done it, but I didn't do no opiates. And I told them what, but it killed the pain. But, you know, and I got my oldest son, he's still a user. You know, he wouldn't listen to me, so he would serve 15 months in prison. But now he's kind of straightened out, I think. He, you know, and my youngest one was hooked on meth and crack, and he's doing good now. He's got all the stuff and doing real good. And, you know, and I got a daughter. I have one from a different lady. She'll be 25 in February. And she does real good. She's on her own. I thought she was going to be my wild child. She was in high school. I had to go to court. She didn't like going to school, truancy. And then she wound up being the, got the best head on her shoulders. But, you know, it just, the way things work out, you know, in this world about, you know, whatever I have coming up, seemed like I could take care of if I let him instead of me drive it. You know, I let him do my driving. And I don't wind up, I listen to him more now, you know, like little man back in the head won't jump forward. You know, I kind of pay attention, you know, that who is talking, me or my higher power, you know. And, but today, you know, it just, I get lost sometimes, you know, and I had to remember what I got to do to get back. You know, if I don't, I will wind up doing something. You know, and I've seen people, you know, have 20 years playing, 10 years playing, go back out over some stupid shit, you know. And I'm sitting there, why? There's nothing out there. Because going back to using ain't going to solve no problem. And I've seen people chase women, they go back, you know, why? I mean, I mean, are they that important to go back out and use to live or die? You know, I've had people get out of treatment center, you know, go and do it. The next thing you know, they get hit by a train, they've had car wrecks. You never know when your time is coming. You know, to me, I want to die clean. And just, you know, the steps work if you're working. You know, I remember, you know, I am crazy. You know, but my higher power keeps me on the same side most days, you know. And I'm a cancer survivor, you know. And I'm 49 years old, I had both my hips replaced. You know, but I don't wore them out from, I do painting, carpenter work, and used to build furniture. I mean, doctors, I just wore them out. You know, they took out half my right lung, be 5 years this February. And I survived that, you know. And it's just, you know, he's not done with me. He's got a reason to keep me around here. And down where I live at, Collin County, there's an NA meeting there, but it's not an NA meeting. It's a drug court. They just sit there and shoot shit, and, you know, it just irritates me. And if I don't even go, you know, unless I won't get stupid, you know, but they told me not even come back. They didn't like me there. I get on her ass back. There was one girl one day sitting there talking about, she said, "Well, I heard if you put alcohol, just wash it around your mouth, you're not using it." What the hell? What's wrong with you, lady? I said, "Your mouth, you're using it." But I mean, that's how stupid some of these people, I mean, I'm getting there. You know, if I want to get my blood pressure a boy, I'll go to that. Which is very awesome. You know, and we was talking about it in this other meeting we have, Celebrate Recovery down there, and I go to it. But you know, that so many people talk about that. You know, they call it the sidewalk, because half the time you don't have keys to get in there. You're sitting outside, and they're on their cell phones, but they do stay an hour. But it takes somebody watching for the drug court. I mean, but there's no readings, no nothing. And I got ordered stuff. I think I'm gonna try to start a meeting down there, or find me a place.
Right.
Right now, I travel to Oxford, 45 miles, or I go to Tupelo, it's 45 miles. I go take an hour either way to go to a meeting. You know, I go hang out with JW and them over on Wind in Tupelo and bury them in Oxford on Monday. But, you know, I shouldn't have to go there, you know. But you got to be willing. You know, whether I'm going to be the only one sitting there or not, but I've heard people in my area. You know, Dickie J and them has got 40. He was still calling Jimmy K when he was in the garage. He where am I gonna get my electric? Jimmy tell him, "Hey, I'm a one-man show, I'm doing it on my garage. You'll get it when I get it printed." And next at a meeting, and he got one of my other buddies. He come to a meeting, he said, "Well, how many got here?" He said, "Well, if you show it'd be three." And they come, and then he went somewhere else, started another one, left Glenn S from Parkdale, Tennessee. That's when he was living there. And it was him and Stan and Dickie J. But then Jim P come, what does the barbecue in Memphis in May from up in my area, got the little mustache and so he was fourth one. You know, today, you know, I remember where I come from. And like I said, I've traveled all over the United States. I've been out of the country several times, you know, convention. You know, and it's just, I mean, if you stay around, life gets better. I mean, it ain't gonna be perfect. You're gonna have some bad times. You know, life ain't always been good to me. You know, I've messed up because I forgot some of the principles in this program. You know, the journey, you know, and like I said, the stuff that I've done, you know, I regret, but I didn't use over. You know, you can live, you can, you know, redo your mistakes. But if you use, you may not make it back to fix a mistake. You know, today my brother, sister, and parents, they're glad to see me. Used to, you know, I used to kid about, you know, They got them knocking on the door, and I could see them watch the TV, and they wouldn't open the door. They acted like they wasn't home. they didn't do that, but you know, it was almost like that because they knew I was there wanting something. They wasn't, you know, I wasn't there to see them for good old soldier lives, you know, what I could feel for, you know, what I could see. But, you know, today I don't have to do that. You know, I retired from, after I got clean, I went back to college, got me a degree in maintenance, went to work for museum first, then I went to work for school system. You know, and I told them up front when they hired me at both places at the museum, you know, I'm a recovering addict, you know. I mean, these museums in that town, they had paintings there and stuff worth $8, $10 million, and, you know, and I had keys to all that. But I had the police chief and few people, you know, that been the people that vouched for me because they knew me all my life, apparently. So, then I got on the school system. The same way I told them, so kids, you know, and the board members when they, you know, I'm a recovering addict. You know, this is all about me. I've been in jail. I didn't have no felonies, but I've been in jail a lot, you know, and I didn't get arrested quite a bit for, they call it disorderly conduct back in the 80s instead of, you know, when you are sitting there, you know, and go to jail, you spend not pay $101 to get out. But, you know, today, you know, so then I got on the school system and I'm retired. So I get to draw a pension today. You know, I retired at 55 and I like that. You know, and I mean, you know, I know people who retire, you know, they stay there to 62 where they draw Social Security, hell, die with a year later. You know, I didn't want to be one of them. You know, I take longer to make more money, you know, my thing, but I was comfortable with what I do. So I make, you know, I still work for a side, make cash money. Well, Sam, you know, he don't even know all that, but, but you know, I make pretty good, you know, doing that on cash. But, you know, today, you know, I'm able to do all that and live through all the stuff I've been through, you know. And it's only because there's a purpose in my life. And until my grandson, he just come down, I met him. He stayed with me a week at Christmas. I met my boy in Blythe, Arkansas. He's 9. He come down and stayed with me. He got back. He stayed with me in March when he was on spring break for 4 or 5 days. Then he got back and he told his mom and grandma and them, he said, I'm going back down there, spring break, summer break, winter break. Anything to hang out with me, you know, and we just sit around. Anything electronic, he does. I mean, he's 5 years old, had a tablet. I didn't know how to set the damn thing up. I gave it to him, he set it up. You know, the kids nowadays, I mean, they're, but, you know, and I can spend, you know, time, you know, and that's what my boys, when I was growing up, they wasn't, you know, I got custody of them when I took my wife back to court a year after I got clean and got custody of my two boys. You know, they were 9 and 11. And, you know, it just happened to be at the right time. It'd been a month earlier, a month later, it probably wouldn't happen. My wife, ex-wife was in a bad situation at that time. I got custody of them, they wanted to come live with me. You know, and I was pretty well clean when they were growing up, but, you know, it's in our genes or whatever. They're going to, you know, I try to, but they're going to do what they're going to do. I mean, you can't hold them to, you know, but, you know, the day, you know, like one learned his lesson, the other one did too, but, you know, and my daughter learned hers, and everybody, they got solar oaks, and you just got to be there when they fall. And that's what I do. And that's all I got.